Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. I'm Bob. This is part 19 of On the Witness Stand, some serious questions for the Watchtower cult. Hopefully some serious answers, too. I think I have serious ones. In fact, today's a little deep for me. I was looking through this thinking, my goodness, this is pretty rough here. And I wrote it, and I'm still having trouble with some of it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I didn't write that. That comes from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to a man called Timothy. Look at verses 14 and 15, not the whole verses, but part of it that's appropriate for us. It talks about the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go slow here. Be sure you get every piece of this. The appearing of Jesus Christ, which he, who's the he there? Well, let's call him God the Father right now. Which he will bring about at the proper time. He, and God the Father again, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, of course, that verse already could go either way, you know, the King of Kings, it could be talking about Jesus right there. But let's go to Revelation 17:14, and then Revelation 19, verses 13 and 16. I just want to put some Revelation verses right up alongside Paul. Put Paul and John together. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit in both of these men. But here's what John says. The Lamb, now we know that's Jesus, is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The Word of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Clearly Jesus in Revelation. Possibly Jesus in Timothy, or maybe the Father. Now I'm asking a question here. Based on these verses, I'm asking this question of an imaginary Jehovah Witness person standing right in front of me. I can see him. Can you? Well, let's put him on the witness stand. You may sit down, sir. There seems to be a question as to who is being referenced in the Timothy passage above. Is it God the Father? Or is it Jesus Christ? Your translation, with the a little shifting of the words, favors Jehovah, of course. And the Jehovah Witness might answer something like this. Well, I think it's obvious here that the sovereign potentate who alone possesses immortality is God Almighty, Jehovah. But sitting next to that Revelation passage, don't you see a bit of a conflict here? It's clear in Revelation that Jesus is King of Kings. In Timothy, it is, as you say, Jehovah. So who is the King of Kings? Well, there's no answer that I'm putting into the mouth of a witness. I don't think there is one that he can give without perjuring himself or perverting the word. Perjury or perversion, how about it? Let the message go out. Jesus Christ and his Father together equals King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He that has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said. Whatever you can say of the Father can be said of the Son. I know they're different in function, but they are one in a way that you and I will never comprehend. Don't worry that you can't comprehend it now. Just believe it, as throughout the Scripture you're called upon just to believe. God blesses those who believe. Well, let's go to Titus. More deep stuff here. Are you there? Oh, wait. Wake up now. Here we are. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Generally a good translation. It says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Our great God and Savior. Now look at King James Version. It says, looking for that blessed hope, that's the same, and the glorious appearing, instead of appearing of the glory, well, that's okay. Of who? Of the great God and our Savior. Separate the two. It's not our great God and Savior anymore, Jesus, but it's the great God and our Savior. This is King James. But look at the New World Translation. That's the Jehovah Witness translation. It says, while we wait for the happy hope. Okay, we'll go with that. And glorious manifestation of the great God, the great God, and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Definitely separated there, right? I found in the Greek, I'm no scholar, but you can look online and find all these things yourself. The Greek wording, how does it go? Awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior of us, Christ Jesus. Well, what does this verse, Mr. Jehovah Witness, what does this verse say that we're looking forward to? Well, he might say it's complex, but we think the clear meaning is that we're anticipating the appearing of God and of Christ, two separate persons. Oh, why did I expect you to say that? You seem to color all verses like this with your preconceived notion that Jehovah and Jesus are two, not one. But let's look closely at this verse. It's caused discussion among us for many years, yet never to the extent that we would buy your supposition. In fairness here, the King James Version does follow the original Greek closer. So we'll stay with them. The refers to God in that version, and our refers to Jesus, God and Jesus. But here God and Jesus are linked in such a way as to make Jehovah and Jesus separate at first glance. Are you with me? The text seems to be separating God from Jesus. But you step back a little bit. You survey the entire text, the entire picture. And we see that it is really neither God or Jesus that we're looking for or awaiting. Now it says it's the hope and the appearing. Stay with me. What's going to satisfy that hope? And what shall be appearing? That's the next question. Again, it's not God or Jesus. It's the glory. Whose glory? Well, it's the glory of the great God and Savior of us. Ooh. The great God and Savior of us. Now that's all just flowing together, God and Savior of us. Now here, right here, I hope you're listening. Here is where the New World Translation betrays its colors again. Stealthily, while no one was looking except some anonymous translators, and they won't even tell us who these men were, if they were men, sometime in that foggy period when they were putting this Bible together, someone stuck in the word of before Jesus. Awaiting the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior I'm sorry, that's the Greek. Let me go back. This is New World Translation. Listen now. While we wait for the happy hope and glorious manifestation of, first of, the great God. That's in there. And then they put another one in. And of our Savior. They separated it even more than the King James does. They really separated it. They assumed that it was to be separated, so they just stuck another preposition in there. Of. Now you've got two glories being expected. One of God, one of Jesus. But the text is smooth. Oh, in the original, there's no genitive, no possessive case here. The glory is of one person. Who is it? His description is the great God and Savior of us, Jesus Christ. This thinking is what emboldened all the other translators to put the our, O-U-R, where it is in the New American Standard. Let me go back and read that one. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. As opposed to King James, the great God and our Savior. Others now feel like you can just put the our right before the whole thing. This is difficult stuff. Let me move on. Only Jesus will appear one day. Yeah, that's another thing. God, the Father, is invisible. He's not coming back in that sense. He's not appearing in that sense. He'll be manifest in Jesus, though. God will. The one who can be seen. Luke 9:26 shows this parallel idea. One day, Jesus will return, he says, in his glory and the glory of the Father. And that's a companion verse to this Titus verse. Put them together. Two separate comings, two separate glories? No. Not at all. One glorious God revealed in the man, Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. That's who's coming. One person, one glory, one appearing, God in Christ. We can't really understand it, can we? I'm trying to help you understand the words, but then you start figuring out, trying to visualize those words and, that I'm saying, and you say, what? Really? Yeah, it's going to happen. Just stand by. Take it by faith just a little while longer. How about Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, talking about the deity of Jesus Christ in this section of questions as we go alphabetically, actually, through all the different topics of the Jehovah Witnesses. We've now come to deity of Christ, and we've been stuck there a long time. Thankfully so, it's the most important thing that they destroy, and it's the most serious charge that will be leveled against them one day. I don't judge any man to hell, but I do judge doctrine as being godly or demonic. This is definitely not a good doctrine in Jehovah Witnesses thinking. They need to repent, and I hope they will. Hebrews 1:3, He, that's the Son, is the exact representation of His, that is God's, nature. New World Translation says His very being. Doesn't even say God there, but... Well, I notice, sir, if you'll take a stand, that you're in agreement with the standard translation of Hebrews 1:3. Regarding Jesus being exact in his representation of God the Father. If Jesus is inferior in some way, as you preach, if he is a God but not the God, how could he be so exact in his representation? I notice also that you have a footnote in that text. referring readers to Colossians 1:15, which states that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Yeah, it's even in the New World Translation. He is that image. Bravo. Jehovah's Witness might say, well, images and representations are not the thing itself. You say Father and Son are one. We say one is a reflection of the other, but not the same. Well, the original meaning of charakter, representation in the Greek, was a tool used for engraving. And then it came to mean a mold. Then it was a stamp used on a coin. The idea is that what is seen in Jesus is an exact likeness of the one being represented. How can Jesus, I ask you again, how can Jesus be an exact likeness? And exact is the word used in many translations and in the definition of character by Strong. How can Jesus be an exact likeness if he is not exactly like God? Same substance. You can't answer that. You can step down. Jesus is not a caricature or a cartoon. When you see him, you see God. That's what he said. He that has seen me has seen the Father. When we say to our children that we can see ourselves in them, we mean there's this quality or that appearance that closely resembles a quality or appearance in ourselves. But the scripture doesn't say that. It's clear here. The image, the representation is exact in every way. If Jesus is a created angel, as the witnesses say, how could that angel reflect all that God is? The New World Translation might even have it better here than the rest of us, but they don't believe it. Jesus is the exact representation of God's very being. That's what they say. I agree with that. He is God, Jesus is. Oh, my. Well, we haven't exhausted this topic yet. Just exhausted myself. We can come back another time and talk about more passages in Hebrews and the rest of the New Testament about the deity of Jesus Christ. Remember, they're going to knock on your door. These folks are. They're probably going to knock on your door if they haven't already 100 times. I caution you, don't let them in. That's from 2 John. You don't have to let these people in unless you have these kind of scriptures understood, because they will try to twist and mess with your brain and heart. Be sure you're prepared. But if you're not, you don't have to let them in. Technically, scripturally, you're not supposed to. Just let them go on down the road so that you don't get infected with the disease that they have. It's a serious disease. Good to be with you today. Please browse through my website, will you? Find a lot of goodies there. And click on books. You can see basically everything I've ever said is in one of these books. And I believe that the Lord, through the years, has helped me understand a few things. I hope that you will check them out and be blessed by them. Meanwhile, check in here from time to time. Maybe every day, 6 days a week at least, to see what's going on at the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. Lord willing, I will talk with you soon. Bye-bye.